been known as the crying pastor sometimes.
So I better get ready.
She started her testimony by saying that you can't hear me? She said, I started strumming my guitar, and the first few words came out. And she said there was no effort involved. It wasn't coming from me. It was coming from the Lord.
Amen.
And she said, so I scribbled the notes down and the words, so I wouldn't forget them, and then I continued. The same thing happened with the second stanza. It came out of her as if she were playing it, her favorite song that she had never played before, but she knew it by heart. She knew it by heart. It was in her heart, and it was there to stay. It was as if the Lord himself had written and given her the lyrics and the chords. This is a very simple song, but it changed everything for Lori. She said that the song was like a gift from God. When you're in a dark valley, and the Lord gives you light, it makes all the difference in the world.
Amen.
And you keep on growing and going. In this world, and you keep on dreaming and believing. Lori made the right choice in making every effort to have an ongoing daily time of study, worship, prayer, and loving relationship with the Lord himself. We need that. Every one of us need that. The Kleins now are in their 50s. They have a ministry in Washington. I'm trying to remember the name of the place. It's Deer Park. Deer Park, Washington, just north of Spokane. They've ministered in several different places. I guess he gave up on forestry. but they're doing well. And I think of them often because when I was stationed in Panama for 4 years, we had trouble getting Christian music in Panama that, you know, wasn't in Panamanian. And most of us didn't speak much Spanish of any kind. So I had written a letter to Maranatha, who had picked up the song and published it. And in fact, they started a series of songs, and I loved every one of them. So I wrote a letter and I said, this is my situation. I need help. We're ministering to people throughout Panama, and we need some background music. You know, we need something to sing with them. And I got a letter back with four cassettes. And I got a cassette every month after that.
Wow.
So it proved fruitful for my ministry, although I was still in the military at the time. I did more ministry in Panama than any place I've ever been. And the Lord has blessed that. I want to share what did I do with my Bible now? I just turned 86 this last week.
Yes.
I never thought I'd make it, but I'm getting forgetful. I want to share with you from John chapter 14 and 15. But before we get there, how many of you love the Lord?
Amen.
Okay.
All right.
How many of you have spent time with him personally this past week? Okay. Awesome. We need to make sure our friends and neighbors know about our Lord. And we need to be built up in him through personal relationship. I mentioned this not very long ago. If you recall back at Easter time, I did a message on the crucifixion. And somebody questioned me, not somebody from this church, but somebody who knew that I was giving the story. And I said something like, it's absolutely essential that we have a personal relationship with Christ above all. He is our Lord, and we need to have a relationship with him. It's all about relationship. I was reading another Bible I have at home the other day, and it's a Bible about our country and how we were founded and so forth. I love it. It was talking about back in the beginning of our nation, how people, even in the beginning of our nation, separated themselves into categories. And for crying out loud, we're all one family in Christ, and we ought to act that way. And I'm praying personally that the Lord gets us there as quickly as possible, ASAP. Okay. This is not an easy thing for me to share because it's just not an easy scripture. But I want to let you know what I'm going to talk about, and then launch into it. Jesus was facing crucifixion. He celebrated with his Last Supper with his apostles. And after the supper was over, during the supper, he had already revealed to some of the crowd that he was going to be turned in to the authorities by one of them. Another one would deny him three times before the night was over. And they had a hard time believing that. But it came from the Lord, and it had to be truth. The Lord doesn't speak anything but truth. So starting with John 14, Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and he was trying to encourage them. He was thinking about their response to what was about to happen to him. And so it starts out, "If you really love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby, that he may remain with you forever." He's talking about the Holy Spirit. "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or welcome or take to their heart because it does not see him nor know and recognize him." You see, that's why we need to spend time with him, because we need to know him. Not know of him, not know about him, not a far distant relationship, close up and personal. Every single day. "But you know and recognize him, for he lives within you constantly, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, helpless. I will come back to you in just a little while. Now, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live also." At that time, when that day has come, you will know for yourselves that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Now, if that isn't a personal relationship, I don't know what is. I was criticized by this individual because I said, you have to have a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. It can't be a relationship from afar. You got to be up close and personal with the Lord. He loves you. You can't even imagine how much the Lord loves you. It's impossible for our human minds to even grab onto that. God loves you more than I could explain or expound upon. I know for me personally, Jesus saved my life more times than I can count. And I'm so thankful that he was there on my side when it counted. At that time, when that day comes, you will know for yourselves that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. That's a pretty close relationship. He lives within us. Jesus answered, I'm lost in the spot already. "The person who has my commands and keeps them is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and will show or reveal or manifest myself to him. I will let myself be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. Judas, not Iscariot, asked him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself, make yourself real to us and not to the world?" You see, evidently the apostles had been hoping that Jesus would carry on the fight and would be with them throughout their effort to change the world. No, Jesus had other things that he had to get done. And one of them was go prepare a place for his disciples when all the skirmishing was over. He said, my Father's house has many mansions, and I go to prepare a place for you, and I will return in a little while. It's been a little while, a couple thousand years and a little more, and we're still waiting, but we have faith, and faith is what holds us to Jesus. He is our promise. He is our maker and the finisher of this grand campaign that he started with his disciples. I was reading another one of my Bibles. I switch Bibles all over the place last night, and I was reading about let me get my little cheat sheet here. No, it's not in here. Jesus is about to explain to them what is going to be required of them, and it essentially is that they will keep his commandments and continue to love him and love one another. And we need to keep those requirements in mind as we deal with each other, as Jesus told us to. And that means... what I was going to mention to you in my other Bible, it talks about the divisions within the church. You know, Catholics and Baptists and Methodists and all of that. And sometimes we have these little feuds, even within our own denominations. We have little feuds, and Jesus says, "No, that's not supposed to happen in my church. That's not how I made you to operate. You are to love one another as I have loved you." That means you're willing to lay down your life for that Baptist or for that LDS. Even some that don't believe in God the way we believe in God. It doesn't matter what their beliefs are. Those beliefs are changeable. The Lord can do it like that. And he's still at work through us. And if we don't love one another like he loved us, willing to lay down our life for one another at a moment's notice, then we're not doing what he commanded us to do. Has anybody here had any experience in the fruit raising business? I'm thinking of grapes specifically. The next chapter is all about grapes. And it can be read in many different ways and understood differently. If you don't know what you're talking about in the area of the grape industry, okay? So I did some research on that. Let me read it to you first, and then we'll talk a little bit about it. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit, to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit." I never understood that the grape business was so complicated. But there is one word that enters into this portion of Scripture that is a Greek word. It's eros, and it is interpreted differently than most of our Bibles interpret it. And I'll talk about that in a minute. Jesus says, "I am the vine, and you're the branches." The vine is the part of the grape plant that comes out of the ground initially, and then it grows, and when it gets about 3 feet high, it is tied off to a little I'm trying to remember what they call it. A wooden a wooden trellis. When the grapes are harvested, they put pots out by each of the plants, so that they can, the vine or the one who's in charge of the vineyard can come by and pick the grapes. They have to estimate first, you know, how many grapes we're going to get and how long we need them to continue to grow and all of that. But that's the vine dressers or the owners. Business. If a plant continues to grow, the natural thing that a grape plant does is head for the ground. And if they get on the ground and they get wet, then they mold and they rot. So you got to be careful with that. And it's the business of the vine dresser to come through every day. And if there's a branch on the ground, they don't tear it off and throw it away. That's a valuable plant. So they take it up and they hook it to the trellis. They either tie it on so it'll grow and produce an abundance of grapes. And many times the vine dresser will have to, if the rain has come and made the ground muddy and the vine is trying to get down there in the mud, then the vine dresser has to wash it off, make sure it's clean, hook it up to the trellis, and have it grow so it can produce an abundant crop. So the word goes on, you're clean, you're cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given to you, the teachings that I have discussed with you over the past 3 years. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. There it is again. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding, being vitally united to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, you can do nothing on your own. Without me, you can do nothing. So you won't produce a crop. Now, what's the crop that they're talking about here? Most of us, and I've been included in this for a long time, I think, well, winning people to Christ, that's the crop we're trying to produce. That's the abundant life that we want in our churches. We want to add people, believers, and tell them what the Lord has said in his word and teach them as Christ taught the disciples for 3 years. But that's not really what it means. Let me read a little bit to you from The Secrets of the Vine, my grape growing book. So, abiding is an act of faith, a radical expression that you value God's unrestricted presence in your life more than any immediate sensation. When God sends his Spirit to abide in you, and the Holy Spirit to abide in you. He expects results. He wants a crop, but it's not necessarily new adherence to the church. It's works of faith, works of helping one another. Good works of any kind counts as part of the crop. So we're not just after bodies to fill the pews. We're after doing good works and serving people who are or are not believers. Too many times we kind of segregate ourselves in our Christian community, and we don't reach out beyond that. And there are people out there that need to be saved. And if they haven't heard the word, it's our job to share that word with them and to draw them into the congregation. That's great. But that's only one of the good works that we're expected to be doing. When somebody is in need and struggling, like Lori, and we know about it, we need to make every effort to meet those needs. And not just to benefit the church, but to benefit that person, because We love them. And why do we love them? Because the Lord loves them. Why do we love the Lord? Because he first loved us in a way that we could never hope to love another person. God is an awesome God. And we owe him our allegiance every step of the way. Let me finish chapter 15 here. And he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from me, from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out as a broken off branch and withers. Can you imagine God throwing anybody out? Huh? Well, there's the Greek word where it enters in, eros. It does not, in all circumstances, it does not mean throw it out. It means save it. Pick it up off the ground. Hook it up to the trellis. You know, save it. It's a valuable item. Just as our salvation is a valuable item. If you live in me, abide vitally connected to me, and my words remain in you, and can you continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. When you bear or produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. I have loved you just as a father loves you. So abide in my love and continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be full measure and complete and overflowing with goodness. Can we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask that you would minister to each person here today and remind them on a daily basis that they need a close personal relationship with you beyond anything else they seek after. Lord, draw them to yourself. Minister healing and wholeness to those in need of it. And bless them richly. Help us to love one another as you have loved us. A kind of love that few have ever attained. No one loves like our Lord. Thank goodness. In Jesus' name.
higher place than I have ever been. There is a deeper well than I can comprehend. There is a greater love than I have ever known, and it's here, yes, it's here, Lord, it's here. Greater mercy than man could e'er conceive. There is a stronger faith than we would dare be. Of rest where we'll never feel alone, and it's here, yes, it's here, Lord, it's here. Yes, it's here, Lord, it's here, before your throne. There are rivers of forgiveness to cleanse the soul from sin. There are healing waters flowing